afternoon, take the scriptures and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to break my regular exposition through the book of 2 Samuel and the life of David and just look this afternoon at the first five verses. Actually, I want to read the first five verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and focus in upon 3, 4, and 5. And speak to you upon this heading of heavenly appointments. And I want to encourage you because I just sense that many have been going through trials and difficulties of all sorts. And today I want us to draw some encouragement from the Word of God. You know, we just sang that. I loved all three of the songs that we sang. But that how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith. Where? Where? In the excellent Word. And that's where we're going to find comfort and help. From Him in His Word. And that's why we're so supportive of the Gideons. Don't forget, give an offering before we leave and we'll collect all of that for the Gideons. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of the living God. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left alone or left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that you were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter has tempted you and our labor would be in vain. And thus far the reading of God's Word, and may He give us ears to hear it today. Let's pray. O Lord of the Scriptures, once more we turn to You, and we ask that You would open our eyes, open our hearts, open the ears of our understanding to receive with meekness Your engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. Do good to each one of us here today. And we will thank You as we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The Christian life, whether you realize it or not, is a strange contradiction. I think of my own experience, and you can probably go back and refer to your own experience. When I first believed upon Christ, there was joy unspeakable, and it was full of glory. There was happiness that I'd never known. There was peace that I'd never experienced. There was just a strengthening that I did not know existed. And then the next thing you know, I'm in a trial. And so we find that there's strange contradiction. On one hand, the Christian life is full of joy and peace. And on the other hand, it is full of trials, tribulations, tests, difficulties. And the word that I want to use today is translated in almost all of our English translations as afflictions. But the word from the language, the original language of the New Testament, is the word that is translated pressures. I remember growing up as a young person and I would hear about people and I would hear things like, well, pray for the sick and afflicted. And I automatically associated affliction with sickness. But that is not the case, not in the New Testament usage of the word. The word that is found here translated affliction, it's almost in every translation, whether it's the Old King James, New American Standard, English Standard Version, even the NIV, all translate this word afflictions. But it's really the word, it's tes philipsin. And it's the word that from the Greek means pressure. And I remember when I was first taking New Testament Greek, vocabulary is very hard and difficult. As Hebrew, you remember those days, guys. those of you that have had it. And I'd try to I'd have what they call mnemonic associations. When I saw the word flipsin and it was translated affliction, I said, affliction flips us, right? I mean, that was my crazy way of... But that's exactly what it does. These pressures that come on us, this not just a sickness. It's not just for old, these things don't happen just to old people. They happen to young believers, they happen to old believers, and believers everywhere in between. It doesn't just happen to men, it happens to women. It just doesn't happen to young or old people, it happens to young people and young women, young men. It happens to everybody in every strata of society if you're a Christian. Life is full of these contradictions and full of trials. And it may be a pressure that is on you mentally. It may be a physical affliction. You may be diagnosed with a terminal illness or a crippling disease, and that is an affliction. But it can also be an assault on your mind, assault on your soul, a trial, a difficulty. It can even be, and there are times in the New Testament where temptation and affliction are used side by side. A temptation can even be pressure, can even be an affliction. It can come in various colors, various sizes, various dimensions. But it's something that comes upon us. And oftentimes, it can slow us down. It can cause our focus to be turned from the Lord. We're kind of like the disciples in Mark chapter 5 when they're on the ship asleep. And the tempest is raging, and they're looking at the waves and the winds and listening to the howls and forgetting who it was that was on the back part of the ship asleep. And afflictions can cause us to take our eyes off of the Lord. Afflictions can cause us to slow down in our walk. Afflictions of all sorts can cool our affection and love for the Lord and can cause us to back away from obeying the Lord. But what I want to look at this afternoon is verses 3 and 4 in particular, and then make some application and talk about heavenly appointments. Notice what he says in verse 3 again, and that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are, the Old and New King James uses the word appointed. The ESV uses the word destined. Same word. We're destined for this. And then, for when we were with you. Remember, 1 Thessalonians is the first epistle that Paul wrote. He went to Thessalonica, preached the gospel. People believed upon Christ, were saved, the church was gathered. And the first epistle that he wrote out of the 13 or 14, as I believe, Pauline epistles, the first was 1 Thessalonians. The second was 2 Thessalonians. And he said, for when we were with you, we kept telling you. He told them over and over and over again. And I want to tell you over and over again beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it came to pass and just as you know. Several things I want to say about these pressures. They're trials. That hymn that Dr. Nichols, we sang at the before the sermon, How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord. When fiery trials, thy pathway shall lie. And when through deep waters I call thee to go. These are metaphorical expressions talking about all sorts of pressures. They can be within yourself. They can be at your job. They can be with your family. They can be with your children. And children, yes, they can be with your parents. Though we have perfect parents here in this church. And perfect children, of course. It can be with your neighbor. It can be with a family member. Can come from many different directions. The first thing I want us to see, is this, that these pressures, these trials, these afflictions, in whatever form they take, are positive. Positive in the sense that they're certain to come. You know, this Christian life that portrays everybody as having the abundant Spirit-filled Christian life. When we get to Romans 7, I'm going to entitle my exposition of Romans. I'm preaching through Romans, brothers, in the morning. When I get to Romans 7, I'm going to entitle it that entire chapter, The Abundant Spirit-filled Christian Life. Because we have this tension to it. We have joy and peace in Christ. We have peace with God. And we, through faith, we have peace of God. We're accepted as His children. We have peace that passes all understanding on the one hand. And on the other hand, there's pressures pushing, pushing, pushing. One trial after another after another. They're positive. They're going to come. You will not escape them in this life. That's what Paul says. That no one be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were destined. For when we were with you, I kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction. They're positive not only in that they're certain to come, but they're positive in that they're good for us. I'm not preaching what I'm telling you, I'm not liking, but I'm telling it because it's the truth. Good? Yes. God uses all sorts of pressures, all sorts of trials, all sorts of difficulties, and they're subsumed under this word affliction. He does so to strip us of all human sufficiency. That we will be like what we just sang. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And He brings these things to strip us from human sufficiency, to bring us to a state of helplessness, which then can enlist the help and the power of an almighty and loving God of invincible grace. They cause us to draw near to God in absolute reliance upon Him. And when we come and say, help, Lord. Do you know that's one of the shortest prayers in the book of Psalms? David says, help, Lord. He was at the end of his rope. He could turn nowhere else. And he said, help, Lord. And upon the wings, as the psalmist would put it, upon the wings of the clouds He came rushing in. Afflictions are positive in that they cause us to draw near in absolute reliance upon our Christ and upon our Savior. Secondly, they're powerful. Now, Paul uses a metaphor here. He says in verse 3 that no one be moved by these afflictions. The word moved here, I've told some of you this before. You know, they're words that are only found one time in all the New Testament. Those words are called hapax legomenon, meaning they're only found once. And the word that is translated moved here is only found right here in all the New Testament. It is not correctly translated as moved, and some translations have shaken. It's not even that. The original meaning of the word had the idea of wagging the tail. My wife snookered me, as you know, again. And we got a third little dog. And that little knothead. I walk in the house and I don't know what is moving what. I don't know if she's wagging her tail or her tail is wagging her. But that thing is going and she's all over me. She's wanting to kiss me and all. I say, ah. But I saw her the other day, and as I was preparing this, I thought, that's exactly the word that is used here. It's that idea of wagging. You know, you see a dog and it's friendly and that tail is just going like that. Well, that is the original meaning of the word that Paul uses here. That you be not wagged. Shaken. It came to mean that the idea of being disturbed and shaken as a tail is shaken by being wagged. Tossed to and fro. Have you ever been in such a situation? I mean, one minute you're just happy and you're resting in the Lord, and 5 minutes later a dark cloud has come over your soul and you are cast down, you are sad, you are depressed, you're angry, you're upset at somebody. And then you begin to, oh no, that's not right. Lord, I'm rejoicing in you, and you're back up. And then 20 minutes later something happens and you're madder than a hornet. I mean, I know you're too spiritual to have that kind of attitude, but some people do, you know, have those types of, right? You know what I'm talking about? 1 minute you're rejoicing in the Lord and resting in the Lord, and the next minute you're cast down and you don't even know the way up, and you don't know if the Lord loves you, if the Lord cares for you, if He's going to watch out for you. 1 minute you are so confident that He's going to do great things, the next minute you're ready to pull out your sword and dagger and you're ready to charge the one that you're upset with, right? Back and forth, up and down, hot and cold. You've been there. You're shaking your head. You're telling me, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I only know what I'm talking about because the Scriptures tell me this is what I'm talking about. Afflictions can be potent and powerful. They can work on us in such a way. They disturb the very essence of our being. The power and potency of affliction is unmistakable. It can hinder you, it can wear you out, it can throw you into the wind. It can shake you lifeless, it can derail you from a stable and comfortable walk with Christ. They can make you even question God. They can cool your love for Him and unsettle your assurance, weaken your trust. They're powerful. But the third thing I want us to see, just a few minutes we have left, is that our afflictions are predestinated for us. Look at the word that Paul uses here. That you not be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we were... The old and new King James uses the word appointed, the ESV uses destined. But it's that word that we would translate ordained or foreordained. God has appointed, He has predestined trials of all sorts, of all different colors, all different sizes, all different magnitudes for our lives. It's not because God is mean and cruel and hates us. It's just the opposite. He's good. He's kind. And He loves His people. You see, Paul is even worried here. There's even the possibility of apostasy in a toxic environment of affliction. Being weary and worn out because they had not drawn near to God, had not trusted the Lord. Many have given up and turned away, making shipwreck of their faith. And that's why he says, for this reason, verse 5, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. He was willing to have himself left alone in Athens, and he sent Timothy to go back to Thessalonica to check on these believers, to strengthen them and help them. Not only are they predestinated, we need to see that these pressures in our lives, though they may come from secondary sources, behind them all is the hand of a loving Father. The Father loves His children so much. And let me just let you in on a little secret. He's shaping you and conforming you. And He's using the wind to blow across your path to get some of those rough edges off. He's using the fire in another place to get some of those rough edges. He's using the waters, deep waters. All of these things, pressures, are molding you and shaping you. What is the end, according to Romans 8:29, what is the end of predestination? Come on, you're thinking, people. To be conformed, He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Right? God loves His Son so much, He wants to populate heaven with a whole group of people that, spiritually speaking, look like His Son. And He uses afflictions in our lives in the various shapes and forms and hues to do that. They're predestinated for this purpose. They're purposeful. Paul wanted to know. He was worried. He knew that these brethren in Thessalonica had come under great persecution. By the time he writes this epistle, believers had been killed for their faith in Christ. Believers had lost their businesses. Believers had been imprisoned, all because of one thing, their faith in Christ. They had been scattered, and he was concerned about them, and he sent Timothy back. When I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. The purpose of temptation or afflictions is to show that there really is faith. Afflictions will not quench faith, real faith. That's why Job, we use him so often, do we not? At the end, what did he say? He said, though he slay me, I'm going to whine and cry and complain and bellyache, right? No, though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. These afflictions show genuine faith. They strengthen our faith. This week, my sweetheart quoted to me, you've heard me quote it before, and we don't know where we got it. We've got it from Mrs. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon's wife, who, after the first year of their marriage, she became an invalid. And he loved his wife all the way to the end. He would go in every Saturday night, and he would preach Sunday morning sermon to her. And she called him her Tershatha, her governor. And he loved her so much. And she wrote a little ditty, little line, "His blessings in times past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink." And these afflictions show our faith, strengthen our faith. And when we get through them, we look back and say, you know, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me. I didn't always see Him. The waves were often high. The flames were too fierce. But there was an unseen hand guiding me through. Jesus led me. And then I close with this. Whether you see this or not, as you look in here, afflictions require patience, require partnership, actually. You see, Paul knew the fierce attacks of the adversary. He knew how the assaults of Satan came against the Lord's people. And therefore he sent Timothy in verse 2. Notice, therefore when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left alone, verse 1, behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel, to establish and exhort you in your faith. You know why the church is so precious and so important? I mean, we are flawed people, are we not? The best of us on our best of days are flawed people. But we have a flawless Savior, do we not? And Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica, back to where there's heated persecution. To do what? To establish and exhort you or strengthen you in your faith. You know what? We need one another. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. And that's where you see the wisdom of Christ regarding to the church. Paul realized that Christians need help from one another, and Timothy's mission was to simply go back there and provide help to the Thessalonian brothers and sisters. He was to do two things. He was to establish them in the faith. Strengthen them. Come on. And he was to encourage them in their faith. You see, dear ones, the pressures of life are not without purpose. God is working in us, even in dark and hard and trying times. And our primary concern should be the maintenance of a lively, strong, and fiery faith, trusting faith in the midst of affliction, whatever it may be, in trial. And brethren, helping brethren in affliction is much needed. We need to learn to pull along beside of our sisters and brothers and put a hand on their shoulder and say, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. What can I do to help you? How can I pray for you? I love you. And I think of these words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 22. He says, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. That's all right, you rascal, you scoundrel. You deny me and I'm going to kick you out, right? No. You're going to deny me, Peter, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. That what? Not that you be removed from this trial that's coming, but that your faith fail not. And when you are strengthened and when you are restored, what are you to do, Peter? What are you to do, Peter? You're to go and strengthen your sisters and brothers in Christ. Amen. The Lord does not remove us from trials, but He will give us grace to go through them. He will not remove us from affliction, but He will carry us through with His power and His strength and His grace and His superintendence. And when we come through them, go strengthen somebody else with the same comfort and the same strength and the same help that you've received. Amen? May the Lord make us servants not only of Christ, but the precious family of God. Let's pray. Father, for your word, we stand today amazed at how you meet us where we are. Help us, O Lord, to not faint in the midst of trials, not grow weary, that you've appointed. We may say the devil has done it, the world has done it, others have done it to us, but we need to look beyond second causes and see the first cause of everything, your great and gracious hand. And as you have said here through your apostle, that we need to know that we were destined for these things, afflictions. You've appointed them for our lives. Grant us grace that we will look beyond the waves and the fire and the winds and look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we're brought through different afflictions, that we will reach out and we will seek to strengthen and encourage and help our precious sisters and brothers, the precious bride and body of Christ. And this we ask in the name of Jesus, our magnificent Lord. Amen.